Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we were talking yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, so I bring this to the 7 o'clock hour to spread the news. Some of you may know this already. Some of you may have done this already. There's a TikTok challenge out there where people are marinating chicken breasts in NyQuil.
Yeah. And I don't even think that's a challenge. It's just like a recommendation or something.
Well, they're doing it on TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, there's nothing all that challenging about it. You just do it and then you potentially die.
Right.
Don't do it, kids.
Right.
It's stupid.
The challenge is surviving it. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous.
It's already the scariest over-the-counter drug there is.
Right.
But now let's concentrate it by cooking it and have the fumes waft up into your nostrils. Yeah, just don't do it, kids.
As it turns out, when you heat it up, it doesn't kill what makes it dangerous. It accentuates what makes it dangerous.
I thought I killed the active ingredient.
Right. No, no.
With boiling water.
Right.
No.
Now, not only can you die from eating these chicken breasts that you just marinated in NyQuil, but you can die from the fumes that are coming out of the pot that you're using to marinate it in.
What do they do with the so they actually just like I guess with never mind.
I don't want to dig too deep into the NyQuil thing.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the whole like how much NyQuil do you have to use to actually they you fry it. Or are they boiling it in NyQuil?
It looks like they're boiling it in NyQuil, yeah. There's probably multiple ways. Like any chicken recipe.
You know, I boycott that on the fact that it sounds too English alone, boiling meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole, you can keep your royal family and you can keep boiling meat with all the other stupid things you do. Not the English listeners we have. We're talking about the stupid traditions that you surely have rejected.
Yes. As you know, Seth, the Texans have made a concerted effort this offseason to reconnect with their fan base. And a lot of that is through social media, digital platforms, very progressive thinking. There's a lot of...
Shirts with gothic print that I actually really,
yes.
really like. Yeah.
Yes.
They've had the apparel. You can tell by the apparel and the popularity of it that they've actually been listening.
Right.
They're not just spitting stuff out thinking like, yeah, the peasants will like this. They are actually talking to people and listening, unlike Justin Fields. Yeah, they're talking to their fans and listening.
That's right. That's right. You should be glad you're a Texan fan. They're listening. So, So the social media is a big part of this, and the various social media platforms, including TikTok. I'm sure they're trying to build their TikTok base. So I thought if these challenges on TikTok are a big thing that the kids are doing these days, I thought we could recommend some Texan-themed TikTok challenges.
You've come up with some really good ones here, actually.
Thank you.
I was kind of surprised when you said you were doing this. I was like, oh boy, here goes arrogant Sean again, thinking he's gonna know what's popular with the kids.
But
I think some of these might actually catch on.
Okay, well let's lay these out. Well, I've got four of them in front of me here, and I'm open to recommendations. I'm not too arrogant to take recommendations because I know this is not my. This is not my area of expertise is these TikTok challenges. So you all recall back in 2008, early 2008, there was a game against the Colts, and I believe week 5, and Sage Rosenfels came in that game in relief of Matt Schaub, and his job was to protect a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Among many plays that went wrong, there was this one.
I formation behind Rosenfels, who bootlegs out to the left side, and he's got a lot of room. Flag down, Rosenfels across the 35. He's helicoptered. He fumbles the football. It's picked up, taken across the 40, 45, 50. Right sideline bracket still going 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Colts, a disaster for the Texans.
That play was and forever will be known as the Rosencopter. If you haven't seen it, kids, Sage Rosenfels, because I know some of you that this might appeal to, these TikTok challenges might not have been alive for the Rosencopter. All he had to do was slide and keep the clock moving. He tried to get a few extra yards, quarterback of the Texans. He jumped in the air and was spun around like a helicopter and fumbled the football.
Yeah,
as he was coming down, he got hit
this
so hard.
This was kind of a precursor to planking, I think, except he did it. He did it in the air.
In the air, yeah.
You know, while doing a 360. So this would be the rightful continuation of planking would be to actually turn it into a Rosencopter.
Right, right. So the Rosencopter challenge is to launch yourself horizontally off of a high ledge and try to spin 360 degrees in the air and try to hold on to the football when you hit the ground. Try to do what Sage Rosenfels couldn't do, which is hold on to the football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you got to do it with a football.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that somebody would try to hit you. Then it gets way more complicated. But if you could do that, that's even better.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have somebody hit you.
Okay. But the one you brought up while we were playing that highlight might actually catch on. Because I'm joking. I don't think smart people want to spin themselves and land on the ground from a high ledge.
Sean, TikTok challenges have nothing to do with
sanity.
People, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said do it into a pool. I like that. Do it into a pool, and you got to land belly flop style. So there is pain involved.
And you'd have somebody actually hitting you, you know, jumping off the ledge or something.
Yeah.
It's actually, if you do it from an above ground pool, there's an extra element of danger there.
Yeah.
So, because it's easier to hit the ledge.
All right.
So do it from a pool, and those will be spectacular.
Rosencopter challenge. All right, so jot that down, kids. My next one, Bill O'Brien's probably most infamous moment as Texans head coach. He's got several as general manager. His most infamous moment as Texans head coach is probably walking into the runway at halftime of the Denver game back in late 2019 and doing this to a
fan. You suck too,
so the TikTok challenge for this one is you just have to walk up to random strangers and scream into their face, "You suck too, bleeper bleeper. You suck too." Keep in mind, you got to film all this. So that's the O'Brien challenge, is to just walk up to strangers and tell them,
"You suck too! You suck too, motherfucker! You suck too! You!"
It's like the Irish-American Fight Club. You got to start up with somebody on the street.
Yep.
And the first rule is you never tell anybody about it, but you do record it on TikTok.
Yep.
And put it out there. I think the biggest one here would be is you get extra credit, which I guess means extra virality.
Right.
If you do it to an authority figure. Like Bill O'Brien was just doing it to a fan.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't have any real power or control over him. If you went up and did it to your assistant principal or something, then that would be, that's getting some status there.
Yeah, picture yourself walking up to your boss and
you guys didn't have the guts to do it. Yeah. None of you listening has the guts to do it. I'll tell you, you sicken me with your lack of intestinal fortitude.
Let's see it.
To even do this.
Tag the Texans on it. All right, next one. We all remember Antonio Smith. We love Antonio Smith. Antonio Smith at times, I would say at times, had a temper, although he was by and large a pretty mild-mannered, affable, fun country guy.
Ninjas tend to be.
Yes.
Like they're not, I don't know if mild-mannered, but calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to be able to control your heart rate, you know?
Superman had kryptonite. Antonio Smith had Richie Incognito.
This went on the other night between the Miami Dolphins and Houston Texans. They talk about player safety, Richie Incognito and Antonio Smith. Watch what Antonio Smith does here at the end of the play. There's history between these guys. Oh, helmet comes off full on. Watch it again. Here you go. And the referee is right there and doesn't see it.
All right, so the ninja challenge for TikTok is to walk up to a stranger, grab whatever headgear is on their head, and then slap them across the face with it.
Well, we should explain what actually happened there. Antonio and Richie Incognito were locked up, kind of fighting after the play, and Antonio got Incognito's helmet off and just immediately swung it at his head.
Yeah.
And he narrowly missed Incognito. And all of the football world somehow instantly became Richie Incognito apologists. This is a guy who at various times, for one, I guess he did some bad stuff. The thing that was ignored in all of that was that Richie Incognito had his hand up underneath Antonio Brown's face, like gouging his eyes.
Yeah.
And people acted like he was the innocent victim in all this. Antonio's just defending himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know about this one, though, Sean. This
Why?
One feels because the other ones wouldn't actually get somebody killed.
I don't know. If you did the O'Brien challenge to the wrong guy, it might get you killed.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not. But that's still a little bit different than like actually going out and assaulting somebody.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can endorse this one.
Okay. Well, I'm just putting it out there. Maybe we're not endorsing it as a show, but I'm just putting it out there on the whiteboard as an idea. The ninja challenge: walk up to somebody who's wronged you. How about that, Seth? Somebody who's wronged you, like Richie Incognito wronged Antonio Smith. So I'm not a random citizen, not a random person, but if somebody's wronged you and they're wearing any sort of headgear, a trucker hat, a ball cap, a chapeau, if you will, you grab it off their head and slap them across the face with it.
If you do it to one of these roving bands of bicycle gangs that...
that grab their bike helmets.
That stalk our cities at night.
Yes.
Are these like half-mile long bicycle trains?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is where I'm jumping in right now. I'm breaking character. Don't do that. I feel like people are like, yes,
no,
those biking brigades are the worst.
Not bike gang. If you've never been, maybe if you live out in the suburbs, you haven't seen this, but
dude,
you might be driving down Montrose, 7:30 p.m., just trying to get home with your voodoo donuts before your wife finds out that you ate a dozen donuts. And, and all of a sudden, you find yourself stuck behind a half-mile-long train of people riding bicycles. It's amazing. It's pretty cool if you're headed in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
When you're behind it, you're like, oh, what am I? I'm on a surface street here. I can't really get off to a side street and speed past them or anything.
They're tough.
I'm just going to bide my time.
Dude, Kirby is the Pacific Coast Highway for that stuff, man. They happen on Kirby all the time. All right, last one. Last one, Brian Cushing. We love Brian Cushing in this town. Brian Cushing is a Texans legend. Probably best known just in pictures, visually, for slamming his head into a helmeted Cleveland Brown after an interception back in, I don't know, 2011, 2010 maybe. Here was Brian Cushing mic'd up on that play.
Cushing with the helmet off. And he'll go to the sideline.
Looks like he's bleeding a little bit.
Yeah, he's bleeding a lot.
You got to pay for this plastic surgery, Bill. You know how this happened.
What did you do?
I laid their guard out.
I laid him out. He gets up and like tries to hit me again. I headbutt him with no helmet. He just looks like me like this.
I'm just keeping my helmet on for the rest of the game. I look like a psycho.
All right, so the Cushing, I know, I just wanted to get to him saying he looks like a psycho. I know there's a lot of white noise in there. The Cushing challenge. And it's no less safe than snorting NyQuil fumes through your nose. Slam your head into any surface until you draw blood on your forehead. That's the Cushing challenge.
Boy, man, you're into the head injuries today. That's
this just in, it's a football team. So
that was a Browns offensive lineman, right? It was a Browns game that happened to.
Yep,
yeah,
sure was. Sure was.
He was him and both Cushing and JJ had issues with bleeding heads. Sometimes that's the way the helmet fits. It just kind of slides down onto your. Now his head was bleeding. His head started bleeding after he headbutted the guy.
Correct.
It wasn't already bleeding.
Right? No. It was after.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I'm watching it right now. Yeah. Oh, because he didn't. He didn't really headbutt the Browns offensive lineman. The Browns offensive lineman initiated the contact. I think he does. Oh, I don't see people going after him the way they went after Antonio Brown.
Cushing didn't sell it though, man. He didn't sell it at all. He just kept walking. He just got headbutted and just walked away, man, and just bled. Yeah. He let it bleed. So those are my four right there.
The Rosencopter reminded me of something I saw yesterday, which was Jason Kelce and his brother Travis Kelce have a podcast together. And they talked about, if you guys didn't see this last week, when the Chargers were playing the Chiefs, Derwin James, the safety, down at the goal line, wrapped up Travis Kelce, put him up on his shoulder in the air, and then body slammed him. The ball popped out, caused by the ground, but still, it was pretty damn impressive. I usually find Travis Kelce really annoying, and I actually find him annoying in this clip, but I got to give him credit for laughing about this.
Yeah.
So even though he sounds kind of annoying, I give him full 100% credit for being able to laugh about this. This is Jason Kelce asking his brother Travis about getting powerbombed.
How did it feel when Derwin James absolutely, powerbombed the f*** out of you on national television?
Well, it's not my first time getting powerbombed, but I made a cut back, and then all of a sudden he is on me like lightning. I mean, he surprised the shit out of me. lower man always wins in football. When I felt him wrap his arms around my legs, I'm chuckling in my mind. I'm like, this is not about to end well for me right now. I'm going up. What goes up must come down. The body slam was funny, but what was even more comical is the fact that he asked me after the play or after that drive. He's like, bro, you good? What a great guy, man. What a great guy.
Solid dude.
Yeah. So
I think I like this podcast.
It's probably pretty good.
Yeah,
it's,
I'll bet it is. They both got good energy.
I'll say the name of it. That's any. It's a weird feeling when you're in the middle of something like that and you know something really bad's about to happen and everything slows down, but you're somehow able to stay calm in the midst of it. It's a weird space. I mean, it's only happened to me in football, wrestling, and car accidents. Because I've been in car accidents before where I was on an icy road. I was going off the road. I knew I was going to hit a tree. And you know that the best way to get out of it without getting serious harm is to stay relaxed. So somehow you stay relaxed in those moments.
Yeah.
And it's an eerie, eerie silence. But yeah, so I'm jealous of Travis Kelce for having recently had that experience.
And he's laughing
where you,
about
you
it.
Get to experience like things that are, yeah. And that Derwin James seems like a hell of a guy.
He does. I like that too, because I'm a Derwin James fan. New Heights is what this podcast is called.
It's, yeah, the New Heights Show.
Yep, New Heights Show. It's the number one most popular sports podcast on Spotify. How you like that? All right. Text message 713-213. My goal is to knock out all of Sean's challenges in one big challenge. Okay. Well, film that.
In one big challenge.
Yeah, he wants to do all four of my Texan theme challenges.
With your head trauma.
Yeah. Head trauma from the Cushing challenge and from getting the snot beat out of you by the guy you slap and swear at. All right,
we should send everybody that does our challenge to the Kelce Brothers podcast, and they can describe it.
Oh.
And that would get us, like, those guys, and Sean and Seth are, they're hell
yes.
of guys. Those guys are hell of a guys.
Yes. We need to glom off their audience. It's the number one sports podcast right now on Spotify, evidently. All right, Lovie Smith was asked about Justin Britt. We finally got the Texans head coach talking about it post Justin Britt being put on the reserved non-football illness list. Also, we talked earlier about Derek Stingley. What does Lovie Smith say about his rookie corner so far? We'll hear from the Texans head coach next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Should mention, Aaron Wilson just tweeted this, and we should mention this because the injury report came out yesterday. Davis Mills did appear on the injury report yesterday.
He did. I saw that.
Yes.
Fascinating.
A right thumb injury, but he was a full participant in practice. Aaron Wilson tweets this morning, injury not regarded as serious per a league source, and he is good to go.
So any injury on your throwing hand feels like a bigger injury than anybody else on the field having a thumb injury. Yeah, but look at major league pitchers. Blister puts them out for weeks at times.
Yep.
Or at least one game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time this season where the Texans, you go into the game saying somehow we genuinely have an advantage at quarterback. Even though it turned out that with Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan, many quarterbacks, many more than it used to be, would have been the better quarterback than those two in those games. But this time, Justin Fields so far has not shown nearly the promise that Davis Mills has, if you can believe that.
They're working around Justin Fields. They're not trying to. I think the Texans are making an effort to at least make Davis, sort of the engine of the offense. That in the run game. Damian Pierce, but they're not shying away from Davis Mills throwing the football at all. Justin Fields has thrown the football. He's thrown the football, I think, 28 times in two games. And the first game, I would be like, okay, he only threw it 15 or 17 times.
Yeah.
It was a monsoon. It was raining. They were winning for most of that game. So if you're not confident in your quarterback and you don't need to put the game in his hands, then don't put the game in his hands. And they won that game. So there's really not much to criticize. He threw the ball 11 times in a game where they were trailing for most of the game on Sunday night against the Packers. He's just not good.
Yeah.
He's not even close to good.
He holds on to the ball forever. So at some point, I think the big concern would be, okay, if the Bears just say, all right, what are we doing here? Let's just go ahead and run. Let's run as much as we can to take advantage of Justin Fields' athleticism and just do it that way. And they decide to do it versus the Texans instead of, trying to teach them how to actually play quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then the Texans might be screwed because the Texans have a really hard time stopping the run to begin with. So it's not like he's incapable of winning or anything. It's just so far they're not getting the kind of development or progress out of him that they'd hoped.
No,
at this point in his
career. No, I think the big key with him, if you keep him in the pocket, you're going to win the game. The only way Justin Fields is beating you is with his legs. He ain't beating you with his arm right now. Here was Lovie Smith yesterday, the first time Lovie Smith has spoken to the media since Justin Britt was placed on the non-football illness reserve list earlier this week. Center Justin Britt. Here's Lovie Smith on that situation.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cut and dried. I mean, Justin won't, as far as the team is concerned, we have a teammate that's not going to be with us for a while. And just like there's an injury, when a teammate is not going to be with you for a while, it's about the next guy stepping up. Scott Quisenberry stepped up last week. Feel like we have depth there. And we're giving Justin everything that he possibly needs to handle his situation.
All right, so that's the Justin Britt situation. There was a follow-up that somebody hit Lovey with about Justin Britt, and he stressed that the situation is personal.
No, when it's personal, once you say it's personal, there's no elaboration that that I'll go in after that. That should say enough. He's out for a reason. That's personal to him, and we'll leave it at that. Like I said last week, I said, hey, to me, as coach, it's one game at a time, one day at a time. He's not going to be with us for a period of time. We know he's not with us right now.
Yeah, so and it's irresponsible, I think, to just to speculate to an extreme degree. I think it's natural, though, to say, okay, it seems like what's going on here is that he was banged up all of training camp to begin with. Looks like he got banged up in that first game. He played very poorly at times, or especially at the end. The play that definitely tied the game for them instead of giving them a chance to win was when he got trucked on the third and one at the end of the game. So if he's considering or contemplating retirement or something like that, I guess the only question is that good for the Texans or bad for the Texans? I mean, even if Scott Quisenberry starts, that's fine. I think he may be better than what Justin Britt would be this year. But it sure would be nice to have a competent backup who knows how to make all the calls and everything. So I do hope that if that's what Justin Britt's struggling with, and, the injuries are wrapped up in all of it too, you have no idea what exactly he might be thinking about. But if that is the situation, I do hope they're able to keep him on the roster. I feel better about having him as a backup.
Yeah, they elevated Jimmy Morrissey from the practice squad. And Morrissey started a few games for the Texans last year, so he's not a complete newbie to this team or to being on the field in a Texans uniform. He was a seventh-round pick, rookie last year, so he's obviously got an uphill climb. As far as Quisenberry goes, I hope whatever's going on with Justin Britt, he's okay and it turns out fine, and whether it's he stays with the Texans or he retires or if it's something else going on, God forbid, I hope whatever that is that it works out okay. I just look at it from a football standpoint, Seth. If the news were to be that on Monday this week that they had cut Justin Britt and they're elevating Scott Quisenberry as a starting center, I would say good. I feel like the Texans got better today. Scott Quisenberry has been a better football player throughout the preseason and training. He's been a more available football player, that's for sure, throughout preseason and training camp. And quite frankly, week two versus week one center play for the Texans. He was better in week two against the Broncos than Britt was in week one, albeit against a tougher, probably defensive interior for the Colts, than Britt was against the Colts. So from a football standpoint, I'm okay with this. I'm fine with Quisenberry being the starting center for this football team as compared to Britt.
I think that he struggled in pass protection a couple of times. Not extreme and to an extreme degree or anything, but they also asked him, Quisenberry, to basically be one-on-one with a nose tackle in pass protection at times without any help from the guard at all, which is hard for centers to do. So they're asking him to do hard things. And usually, like, you'll at least get a jab from the guard to help him out a little bit. So I feel like this offense can keep improving with Quisenberry as a center.
Yeah.
I think that Kenyon Green still has some rookie moments in pass protection. I think in the run game, he's been doing very well. I think that the pass protection has improved from the preseason game till now. That was his third game, and I think he's shown improvement in some respects. But he has to clean that up. But those two positions, the center and the guard, I think within the next few games will be markedly better than they were in game one. And that hopefully makes Davis Mills a little bit better. And certainly we've already seen Dameon Pierce run better in week two than he did in week one.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. The guy I care the most about on the offensive line as a fan, long-term obviously, but even short-term too, is Kenyon Green. This is better for Kenyon Green, right? That they're just settling in on Quisenberry to be the center here moving forward.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Consistency matters. I think there's still times where Kenyon Green and Laremy Tunsil aren't quite on the same page. And they're asking Kenyon Green to do some things that I think are better suited to guards who are fleet of foot. Kenyon Green's strength isn't his foot quickness. He's a mauler of a dude, and they'll figure out what they can and can't do with him, I think. And so he needs time in the system just to where the coaches can get comfortable with him. And him, Quisenberry, and Laremy Tunsil on the other side, yes, the more time, the more reps, the more they communicate, all of that, the three of them as a package will get better. It's been stuff that's not alarming to me in the first couple weeks. It's just been classic getting to know you type of stuff, especially when you're playing with two new guys that are new to the offense with the center and the guard.
Here's Lovie Smith on the secondary, specifically the corners, Derek Stingley Jr. and Steven Nelson.
Well, I think Stingley is going to learn from playing, and I think you can get misguided a little bit if you just look at who did, you know, passes weren't called on one person, which side they're attacking. Derek Stingley is our one corner, so he's going to be in that role for many years. I love him being in that role. He's an outstanding player, and he's going to be a great player as he goes through. And how we'll have Steve is our second corner. He does some good things. Also, we need both of them. It's kind of simple as that.
I think Nelson's been good so far this year. I've been impressed with Nelson. My expectations weren't high because Show had been saying that
we used to call him Mr. Defensive Holding waiting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird nickname for somebody. You know, it's not...
It was also – that was like the worst year he ever had for that, for the illegal contact. It was a kind of a one-off thing for Steven Nelson, and Show saw the worst of it.
Yeah.
And that was back before Kansas City had made their turnaround on defense, was it not? Was that like the last year they had a bad defense?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So, I think, the big thing is Steven Nelson and run support a couple times has come up and played really well. I'm nervous about this now with the defense just because at any given time, it seems like half the rushing yardages come when one guy has blown setting the edge. And a lot of times that's a cornerback or a safety that's supposed to be doing that, and guys just haven't done it well. Steven Nelson has the selflessness to know that sometimes you're coming up and you're not going to make the tackle. You're just cornerbacks sometimes have to be like nose tackles in the run game, where you just come up and you do your job, you turn it back in, and you know that you're not going to make the play. Steven Nelson understands that part of it, like when you can take the chance on making the tackle, but don't do it if you miss the tackle, it leaves the gate wide open on the outside. So I like that part of him. Like that shows to me a certain conscientiousness that some veteran cornerbacks don't have. So when you have a guy who's conscientious working with Derek Stingley, who seems by nature a pretty conscientious guy, I think that's a situation as a group that's going to keep improving. You know, we had the listener earlier talk about how awful Derek Stingley has been because he's had some bad plays so far this year. And seem to be pessimistic about everything for the future because of that. I would remind you of Kareem Jackson, who wasn't even good as a football player until his second season. And I don't think had flashes the way that Derek Stingley has had so far. Derek Stingley's had some really nice plays. He's had some bad rookie-type plays. Mm-hmm. But the good stuff that he's done is, as long as he can get consistent with it, is some high-level stuff.
Yes.
And I do feel good about it. I'm like you in where I was with Steven Nelson. It was just kind of a meh signing to me, and I wasn't sure what to expect. For where this defense was last year and where they hopefully can go this year, he's an upgrade.
He's a solid vet. They tout all these solid vets they'd signed last year. This has been a solid vet so far. Steven Nelson has been.
Somebody says, yes, it's irresponsible to comment on what you might think. Justin Britt's personal situation will be, yet every one of you on this radio station does that for the last 5 days. Look, I'm not going to just not talk about it altogether. What kind of wuss are you? He's a professional football player. He's a public personality. He's not available for the team. Do you understand that I have more of an idea why you aren't playing for the Texans this week than I do Justin Britt? So we're going to comment on it. Do you want me to just not even mention his name? And starting at center will be some guy, and that's it. Yeah, it was, apparently Scott Quisenberry won the job. What kind of head under the covers coward are you that you're afraid to talk about somebody who's not available to play professional football on a given week? I'm not speculating about some kind of salacious rumor or anything like that. I'm saying very matter-of-factly and respectfully, yeah, he must be going through some stuff. So there you have it. I guess he's going through stuff. My God, what's wrong with people?
Join Clint's.
That one person. What's wrong with that one person?
That one person on the text page. Yeah. Yes. Join Clint's. You could have been a wrestler, dude. I'm telling you. You could have been a wrestler. You got the gift of gee. You got the promo part down.
I would have broken kayfabe. Is that what you call it?
Yes, kayfabe.
All the time. Everything would have turned real.
Would have been a shoot. Yes.
I would have been like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray takes offense at some guy trying to tap his arm, but it hit his face.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray all of a sudden acts like he's been assaulted.
Yes.
That'd be me. Somebody would get a little too rough with a fake slap or something.
Stiff, yeah.
I'm like, sir, my honor.
Join Clint Sterner in the show at Churrasco's Memorial City, a Miller Lite Football Friday. Tomorrow, 2 to 6, hang out with the guys, great food, cold drinks, and get ready for Sunday's matchup in Chicago on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the nominees for 2023. Andre Johnson on there. No big surprise there. We hope he makes it. There are 7 former Texans, and there are 4 former Seth Payne teammates. We will run through the list. We'll hit headlines, and a former Texan or former Seth Payne teammate is going to join us at the top of the hour. A teammate in Jacksonville, John Yurkovich, a radio personality in Chicago, is going to join us to talk Bears-Texans at the top.
I was reminded to get him on because so many listeners requested.
They love
him.
He's
awesome.
He's great.
He's hilarious. Yeah,
he's great. He's great. So we're going to get to him at the top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we should mention this. The Hall of Fame announced 129 nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Announced 129 nominees for induction for next year. This list will get pared way, way down here over the ensuing months. January is a big month for that. Super Bowl weekend is when they end up choosing the Hall of Fame class. Andre Johnson made it to the final 10 last year. Did not make the final five that eventually got in. Andre is eventually going to get into the Hall of Fame. This year might be tricky because they've got Joe Thomas and Darrell Revis are, for sure, it seems like, going to take two of the spots. And John McClain has said DeMarcus Ware, he thought, should have made it last year. DeMarcus Ware, friend of the show, he will probably make it this year. So really, there's probably two spots open that are available for Andre Johnson and several others. Here are the former Texans that are on the ballot, Seth, the 129 nominees. I'm going to tier them in orders of relevancy tied to being a Texan. I'm going to kind of stack it that way. Andre Johnson, obviously, top of the list. I would say Shane Leckler has a high level of relevancy. He'll go in as a Raider, but he was a prominent guy for 4 or 5 years for the Texans. So Shane Leckler is a first-timer as well on the ballot, in addition to Joe Thomas and Darrell Revis. Leckler's going to get in someday. It won't be first ballot.
You think so?
Yes.
It's not such a simple thing for a kicker or a punter to make it in.
It's not, but I brought this up with McClain on the Hutopia podcast this week, and McClain, McClain's one of the 49 people that picks the Hall of Fame. He said the big thing Leckler, Ray Guy was the first one to get in. He got in 8 years ago. The big thing Leckler has going for him is on the all-century team, there were two punters, Ray Guy and Shane Leckler. So for the 100 years of football.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a big one.
His consistency and just his the majesty of watching a Shane Leckler punt.
Yep.
And we didn't get to see him in his pure prime.
Yeah.
Is something to behold. And I think that because he played for so long, there are all those writers and all the people in the Pro Football Hall of Fame electoral body, they probably thought about it for a long time, and they got to see it in person and know the difference of what he meant. That was one of the weird situations there where Janikowski and Leckler were kind of wasted on the Raiders for a long time. Can you imagine slapping those two guys onto the Patriots or something? You could have really seen just what a kicking combo like that could do for you.
It flew in the face of any smart guy that wants to say the kicking game. You know what's underrated? The kicking game. Oh, really? Because the Raiders had two of the best in the game for a decade, and they were trash. They were off. The team was trash, not
the team. Yeah,
the kicker and punter. The other Texans I would say that are relevant Texans. Vonta Leach is on the ballot. He's one of the 129. He made it there as a fullback.
Yeah.
So he's on there. We saw him recently at one of the, what was the opener, the Colts game, right?
Yeah.
He was out there.
He was out on the field too.
Yeah.
He's big, man.
That's
a big dude.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. He's like a middle-aged guy now, so he's got a little bit of extra, but he looks like he could have played nose tackle if he were a little bit taller. He's big and muscular. I feel like he could win a lot of barroom brawls.
I was just going to say, he looks like a bouncer. That's what he looks like. Vince Wilfork is on the ballot. He's obviously more a Patriot than a Texan, but he played good football for the Texans. The other three are just kind of funny. Ha ha. They were all on the team in 2011, coincidentally. Jake DeLome, Jeff Garcia, and Derek Mason are all on the ballot. Yes, they all had...
The ballot, just takes one person to nominate you.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's... I don't think it has to be by a voter either. I think it's like, I think anybody can nominate any
That's
person.
That's what makes these names fun.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a few guys out there that are like, okay, like they've got a buddy that keeps nominating them and they're probably like, all right, dude, could you please cut it out now?
Well, you know who's on the ballot? Pat McAfee is on the ballot, and FanDuel played that up like he was actually being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like,
yeah, somebody, and I wonder if, because McAfee was a good kicker, but he didn't kick all that long, and he wasn't a dominant guy. Like, he would never actually be a Hall of Fame candidate.
He made
right?
the Pro Bowl, I think, a couple of times.
Right, but yeah. not by kicker slash punter standards.
No, he's like, not Shane Leckler.
There's no way, yeah.
Right. Here are the four former Seth Payne teammates that are on the ballot, and John Yurkovich teammates, probably. He's joining us at the top of the hour in about 10 minutes. We'll get to a few headlines here in a second. Andre Johnson, obviously. Your three Jacksonville former teammates on the ballot, Seth. Fred Taylor, who I think has a puncher's chance at some point. I think he's got the most rushing yards of anybody who's not in the Hall of Fame or not a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's like 18th on the all-time rushing list or something like that. Fred Taylor.
He's There's nobody around him, ahead of him or behind him, that's eligible for the Hall of Fame who isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
That's the big thing with Fred. And I think the argument against him will be that he was kind of a compiler.
Yes.
He ended up playing a long time, so he kept stacking on 500 yards at a time, you know, for his last few seasons. But he amassed a lot of that yardage earlier in his career when he did have a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy where it's a... If he had played for a good team, it would have been a slam dunk. Well, when he did play for good teams, if he had played for a good team that was a notable team, either in New York or L.A. or something, and if they'd won a Super Bowl, I think he'd be a slam dunk, kind of like Terrell Davis. It just the timing makes it harder.
I think Fred Taylor was a better player than Frank Gore. And everybody's putting Frank Gore in as a lock because he compiled longer than Fred Taylor did. You know, like I just feel like Fred Taylor was a better player. So the other two, Jimmy Smith, who's not going in, but was a very productive player.
Yeah.
And Clyde Simmons.
Yes.
You were a teammate of Clyde Simmons your rookie year.
He was Clyde the Glide. Yeah. He was so smooth and was part of that whole Philadelphia scary bunch when he was a young player.
Jerome Brown and Reggie White. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys were just
they were
just
terrifying.
Studs.
Yes.
And he was my hero because he was one of the few guys that Coughlin would listen to when he would tell Coughlin that maybe he needed to back off a little bit. And it was, so that was cool. That was where he was a genuine old school veteran that had the respect of old grumpy coaches that if you'd say like, hey, I think guys are pretty beat up, then coach would actually listen to him.
There you go. All right. So those are the ballot. You can find the ballot on Live's 129 names on there, but I just got you up to speed on all the Texans and the former Payne teammates. We'll talk to John Yurkovich here in just a few minutes from ESPN 1000 up in Chicago, former teammate of Seth's in Jacksonville. For now, let's spend a few minutes on the headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
Astros sweep the Rays. They win 5-2 last night. The story of this game, the shutout streak ended. They shut the Rays out the first two games of this series, and six innings into last night's game, they were shutting them out as well. But the Rays were able to scrape together a couple of runs against Lance McCullers. McCullers left the mound trailing 2-1, but because the Astros scored three in the top of the eighth, McCullers ended up getting the win in this one. He's 4-1 since coming back from his injury. The numbers really continue, Seth, to be encouraging for Lance from a usage standpoint. Seven innings pitched, 102 pitches. His pitch count is always going to be a little higher for a guy throwing six or seven innings than the normal guy. Just because he'll walk some guys from time to time. But that Lance is going over 100 pitches, and this is not the first time he's done it, but that that they're comfortable having him pitch over 100 pitches and that he's comfortable in pitching well is a huge development for this team.
Yeah, and I think the challenge that he had in, his second, third, and fourth outings, you know, looking back on it now, where you're really nervous about it was whether it was injury related or recovery related. It seems now that it was just purely him trying to get his control back and get the right feel out there. In these last couple appearances, he's looked every bit the guy that you want out there starting in the playoffs and that can go seven innings. And ultimately, might be a silver lining that he got hurt early on, because we know that usually you can expect a certain number of innings out of Lance in a season, and now they'll all be coming on the back end, so hopefully it ends up being ultimately a really good thing.
October is going to be his June, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of how he's been treating it. His rehab, he was treating it like spring training, so you know, October is going to be what, you know, it'll be June to Lance, theoretically. The other story from this game is Jose Altuve took a beanball on the left arm last night. He wears the elbow/tricep pad, but it hit right below that on the forearm. He stayed in the game to play out the inning. You know, he stayed on base. They beaned him, so he got to go to first. And then the next inning, the next half inning, Mauricio Dubon was out there playing second base. Only for one inning, though, because he didn't play very well. They stuck Hensley in there to close things out at second base.
Two things. One, Pena defensively made a great play last night when our friend Jose Siri hit what would have been a single. And Siri, as we know, is blazingly fast. And it's one of those things. I was doing my bicycle workout in the garage, and Brandy texted me. So these are two things that happened last night that I only learned through Brandy. She texted me, "No!" And I, of course, thought there was an emergency. So I unclipped my stupid little biking shoes and ran in barefoot. And I was like, "What happened?" I thought there was like a water main leak or something. She said, "Altuve got hit on the elbow really hard." Say,
and indeed, there was an emergency.
Yes.
Altuve got beamed.
It looks like he's going to be okay. They don't think it's a big deal. It's not like bone chips or anything.
No. Just real quick on the Altuve to close it. He's day-to-day, and he was joking around in the dugout after they took him out. Go ahead.
The other thing was on that Pena play. I didn't get to see that firsthand either. And when I first watched it, I was like, boy, I saw everybody gushing about that. Why was it such an amazing play? And she said, because it was Siri running down first base. And it was, it was a nice play to begin with, but it made much harder by the fact that Siri is so damn fast.
Yeah, it was.
I love watching that kid.
Or Pena?
Siri. Yeah. Siri. It's just, you just never know what's going to happen.
He's fun.
He's like tossing a live M80 around from hand to hand. It's going to be good.
He's fun. He is fun. They head to Baltimore to play four this weekend. The Astros do. They're eight games up on the Yankees in the standings right now. And I think the Yankees are probably more focused on Aaron Judge getting to 61 home runs than they are the standings right now, because they ain't catching the Astros, and I don't think anybody in the AL East is catching them. The Astros and the Yankees are going to be the top two seeds in the playoffs. We will get to sit and watch the wild card round, Seth, without having to be stressed out about it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's your Astros headlines. Verlander on the hill tonight for the Astros, if you're wondering. Texans. Not much coming out of the Texans. We got Lovie Smith speaking for the first time since Justin Britt went on the injured reserve. Didn't really reveal anything. Not a big surprise there. Davis Mills was on the injury report. That was interesting. I was actually in the building over there yesterday when the injury report came out. I was doing Texans Extra Points with Drew Doherty and with Mark Vandermeer. And the injury report came out, and Vandy had pulled it up on his phone. He's like, "Mills is on the injury list." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And then it's like, well, full participant, right thumb, full participant. Aaron Wilson reported earlier this morning that, according to a source, it doesn't appear to be any sort of big deal. I will say that, Seth, one thing about the Texans early on this season, they're a healthy football team. Knock on wood, I mean, but they managed to navigate training camp and these first couple games.
Yeah.
There has not been anything major. And Justin Britt's issue is sort of, I'm talking about like football injuries. His feels like a separate sort of thing. They've really managed to dodge the injury bug pretty well for an NFL team, I would say.
Yeah, that's there's something about the way teams are handling training camp right now, which is frustrating because it does make a lot of sense from an injury standpoint. But I do feel like the play is sloppy and not necessarily consistent with what that team's going to be. So I think there's some teams that look sloppy right now. Rams might be one of these teams that took it really easy on a lot of their studs during training camp, and now they look awful. But it's just more a reflection of just them not being sharp and crisp. I feel like with the Texans, there's a little bit of that going on. They just don't have nearly the upside that those other teams do.
Yep.
But in the run game especially, if you're going to be a team that wants to be ground and pound and then use that to set up the play action, there's too much timing. There's something missing in the run game with the Texans that I hope is just because they took it easy on a lot of their studs during training.
Someone on the text page said that about Stingley and Petrie when we were talking about them earlier,
yeah.
Particularly Petrie with the tackling, and they were kind of backing up our opinion on it, saying, oh, so what you're telling me is two rookies who didn't get to tackle in training camp are rusty in tackling the first 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's, you know.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.